This episode is sponsored by Artistic You. Today, Artistic You introduces the last of the Legend series in the new Castile yarn. Castile is a DK weight yarn spun from 100% superwash merino wool. Legends is a collection of gorgeous, vibrant colors, each which recognizes a female star of stage and screen during the early days of Hollywood. This week's color is Carmen, named for the Brazilian beauty Carmen Miranda. Carmen was an actress who is remembered not only for her entertaining movies, but also for her ornate headdresses that were adorned with flowers and fruit. Her representative yarn is a sunny shade of yellow that beckons you to warm summer days and perhaps to the beaches of Ipanema. From November 14th through November 20th, Artistic You is offering Very Pink listeners a 20% discount on any of the Legends colorways. Use coupon code PINKLEGENDS20 at checkout. Please note that Marcy will not be shipping from November 14th through November 17th, so all orders will be filled beginning November 18th. And I'm going to put a picture, of course, of Carmen in the show notes. Carmen is the last of the Legends series. We also have Vivian, Judy, Billy, and Marilyn. And I'm going to link to the Castile page with all the Legends yarns because you should see the lineup of all these together. I kind of can't wait for someone to do a project with all of these yarns, with all five of these colors. Again, for 20% off the Legends colorways, use coupon code PINKLEGENDS20 at checkout, and I'll put that coupon code in the show notes. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 168. So if you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for 168. Or if you're listening to us in a podcast app, you can usually just tap on the artwork for the podcast and see all the show notes and all the images and everything else, because we've got a couple of coupon codes in there this week. We've got an image of Carmen yarn from Artistic You. You know, it's all in there.
Yep.
168. How you doing, Casey?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you staying warm, my friend?
I am. It got so cold.
I know. You're in plaid and knits and
got my boots
all bundled up. Are you wearing boots too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm wearing fuzzy slippers that have like a shoe sole on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep my cold. It is cold here. It is like 42 degrees outside right now, and that feels really, really cold to Texas.
Yes. I was going to wear my Uggs, but it's also rainy, so.
Yes, and it's not easy for me having now three dogs who hate the cold and the wet. Try to convince them to go outside. Our morning walk was seriously like, we walked over to the next door neighbor's tree. They peed on it. We turned around.
They're like, done.
Can we get back in the house?
Oh, cute.
Yes, we can get back in the house. Yeah, I wasn't happy out there either, so that's fine with me.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to ask you what you're knitting, because I have a feeling you're going to say, I'm still knitting my son's stockinette sweater.
I am, but at least now I can get onto the sleeves. I think I'm going to try knitting the two sleeves at the same time.
Like, why?
Flat. Just because that way I don't have to measure them, and I know that they're the same length.
Oh, right. Okay.
But they're flat. It's knit flat, so we'll see. I keep modifying this pattern, so who knows what it's going to look like at the end.
Are you working from a real pattern?
Yes.
Okay.
There's not a lot. Here's an opportunity for a knitting designer, if we should know one. There's not a lot of stuff.
I think we probably do.
For like the 8 to 15-year-old age group, even 15-year-olds could probably wear an adult small, but like the 7 to 12 age group, there just isn't a lot of stuff out there.
Maybe like big kid age.
Yeah.
Not little kid. Yeah.
There's a ton of baby stuff. There's tons of toddler things. But once they hit like 6, there's just not a lot of stuff.
Hmm.
And maybe it's because they grow out of it so fast people don't want to bother. But,
Well, Elizabeth Zimmerman would just knit things top down and unravel the ribbing on like the sleeve cuffs and the bottom cuff and just add more length.
That's smart.
Because they're not usually putting on, you know, bulk. They're just growing longer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's and I guess if you have a kid that doesn't mind, maybe a slightly different color.
Yeah.
That's just being really frugal though, isn't it? And like not giving something to Goodwill or to another kid. You save that sweater and you keep, you know, the
keep
kid keeps wearing
it.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, if the kid's playing in it, they don't care if there's a different color purple at the bottom of the sweater.
Or you could turn it into something really cute where you started it and then added a different color every time you added more.
If you started it as a striped sweater and added another stripe, yeah, that would be cute. That would be a great photo series. I'm picturing the kid in a sweater with, you know, X number of stripes, and then the older kid has more stripes until they get big enough that they are starting to put on bulk and not just growing taller and taller.
Yeah. So,
well, this episode is chock full of magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers. Are you ready to read questions?
I am.
Okay.
Let's go. Hi, Stacy right. and Casey. I am an English style knitter and would like to get into doing some stranded knitting. I noticed that there's a thing called a Norwegian thimble, which can hold two strands of yarn, but that is used in the left hand for continental knitting. Is there any way to use a Norwegian thimble on the right hand? I have some carpal tunnel in my left hand and wrist, so I try not to do too much fiddly work with that hand. I'm 29 and have been dealing with carpal tunnel for about 5 years now. I've also seen knitters using one strand in each hand, but again, I would like to avoid anything complicated with my left hand. What technique or option would you suggest? Love the podcast, videos, and everything you ladies do. Val from Canfield, Ohio.
Oh, Canfield, Ohio. Hi, Val. There you go. Yes, I have used a Norwegian thimble before. And Casey, have you seen these things?
Uh-huh.
Little wires that yarn runs through, and you can keep a couple of strands, you know. Anyway, it's a good way to manage a couple of strands of yarn. Takes a while to get used to. I used it for a project one time, and I found that I either like to have just to wind the yarn in two different directions around my hand or around my finger, or hold one strand in each hand. But the Norwegian thimble is something that you can get used to, and it's not too bad. She's asking if there's a way to do this in non-continental knitting, whether that's throwing or flicking, to holding the yarn in your left hand or your right hand. And yes, that's the way I used it, is I had the Norwegian thimble on my index finger of my right hand. And I was, I suppose, probably not flicking while I was using it, but more throwing. So it works either way. Actually, I think it makes more sense to use it as a non-continental knitter.
In the left.
No, I'm thinking that it might. No, it'll work for either one. Now that I'm thinking through it, I just think in terms of holding the yarn in my right hand all the time. It's easier for me to think that way. Yeah, they're inexpensive. They don't cost very much. You can always give it a try, even if you're just going to give it a try in a swatch or something. Especially if she's trying to reduce movements with carpal tunnel, stuff like that. Yeah, it's something to give a try.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. Yeah, give it a try. Because, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, like a $100 investment or something, yeah, but I think we're just talking about, you know, $5 or $10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is sort of related. Hello, lovely ladies. I would like to know how or where you sit to knit. My couch is fine for mindless knitting, but if I have to follow a complicated pattern with charts and several repeat instructions, I like to sit at the table to spread out my pattern, and then my shoulders start to ache. Should I sit with my elbows on the table? I've learned so much from you both. Diane in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Diane. Casey, where do you sit in it?
Usually I'm in my bed, which is bad because I can tell I'm like off-centered with my hip. But I have an easy chair. Is that what you call it? I don't know. A chair, that has like nice side arms that if I'm going to do something for a long time, I try to make myself sit there and have good posture.
That is an easy chair, what you're describing, a comfortable chair. Yeah. With padded arms. Yeah. And I, first, before I answer the question, I want to get to her question. Should I sit with my elbows on the table? And I don't know how she sits with her elbows on the table. That would be the worst posture for me knitting. I would definitely hurt myself, my neck, if I was leaning over the table like that. I find that if I'm working on something complicated, sitting up straight at a table is good for me. I like to do what Diane does, is sit up straight at a table with my pattern out in front of me so I can really concentrate on what I'm doing. The other thing that I do is I don't lean back in the chair. I try to, this is how I always sit though. I never lean back in chairs. I always sit up. And so I try to sit up and support my body, support my head. I think that's a big thing. Like, I think that was even addressed in the interview that you did with the chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. Not letting your head tip forward all the time and getting that. What's the strain that you get on your neck?
Tech neck.
Right. Not getting tech neck. Because you can hurt yourself by supporting your neck, using the muscles instead of using your spine when everything's lined up properly. I am not an expert in this. I am just saying the things that I've heard and what I know from my own body. But then when I'm sitting in my living room, when I'm watching TV and stuff, I have a sofa that has me sitting up really straight. And I'm comfortable not with my arms on the arms of the chair, but with my elbow, at least my left elbow, pressed up against the side of the sofa. And I think, I don't know what that does, but it, if I don't do it, if my elbows are just flopping around out in the air, that seems to be when I get tendonitis in my elbows.
Yeah.
But if I have at least one arm pressed up against the side of the chair, I have no idea why that works.
Because, like, if you think of it, like, from somebody who does yoga a lot, if you are always want to constantly, like, roll your shoulders back into their pockets, we say.
Oh.
That's going to, like, make sure that your shoulders aren't hunched forward. And so by pushing it with your elbow, you're getting that shoulder blade back where it needs to be, like, around and down.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That is absolutely what I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise,
but anytime
you're like putting too much strain on your shoulders and your upper traps. So
I feel it almost immediately if I'm sitting and knitting with bad posture. And so I'm pretty good at knitting. I'm pretty good at sitting with good posture when I'm knitting. It's the computer where I lose it, where I find myself just hunched over.
Yeah.
and that's why I should probably get a yoga ball for the computer.
Or a standing desk. I just got a standing desk and it's really helped.
That's right. Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it. Because my hip gets really tight. And if you're constantly sitting, your hip is in that constantly flexed position. So if you stand, you're stretching that hip. I could nerd out on this for you.
You could nerd. I'm wondering if you're going to eventually get like a treadmill under your standing desk.
Yeah. But that interview I did with the ergonomics knitting, he also says, you know, get up and move. You're not supposed to sit for a long period of time. So if she's sitting at the table hunched over or whatever, she needs to get up and maybe stand for a little bit, even if it's a complicated thing. You know, do a row standing up when it's just your all knit row or something like that.
I find myself doing that when, now that I have a puppy in the house again, when the puppy's riled up, if I'm trying to sit down and knit, you know, she will just jump on me like, what are you doing? You know, and so I can stand up behind the sofa and knit and she can't reach the stuff I'm knitting. But it is a nice break to get up and stand up to knit for a little bit if you can. And I know that makes me think that I have a Delaq bag. I'll link to this if Delaq still has this bag available. It's a little bag that drapes over your forearm and holds your yarn so that you can knit and walk at the same time. It's a really cute bag. It's modeled after the bags that hang on clotheslines that hold the clothespins.
Oh, yeah.
Very old-fashioned thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Do you know what? I also want to say we will link to your interview with the chiropractor and the knitting comfortable, the interview ergonomics. You did with ergonomic. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll link to all of that stuff about good posture when you're knitting.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by ModCloth. At ModCloth, they design vintage-inspired apparel made relevant for right now. Crafted by a team of in-house designers, signature styles include bright, hand-drawn prints in an exclusive size range that celebrates all women. You'll find quality pieces that are versatile enough to wear to work or on the weekend. And right now, they're all about holiday party stuff. They say RSVP yes to the holiday parties because ModCloth has party-perfect looks for every event. From velvet to tulle, you'll find the dress of your dreams. Feeling gifty but not sure what to give? ModCloth's gift guide has something for everyone. Seriously, go check out their unique gift section. That wasn't me saying seriously. That was in the copy, but it sounds like something I would say.
Seriously.
ModCloth, what'd you say?
I just said seriously.
Seriously. ModCloth believes fashions should celebrate all women. That's why they include a size range from 00 to 28. And got a question about fit? Their team of mod stylists can hook you up with complimentary sizing and styling help. And I have been looking on ModCloth because holiday parties are coming up and they do have such a great selection of dresses. Mm-hmm. Have you been looking?
I have tried to not look because it's so cute.
You're still basking in the love of your new jeans.
Yeah. So I think last time we had an ad, I said that I had ordered some jeans and I asked everybody to cross their fingers that they would fit, and they fit perfectly. They're like, they're kind of like stretchy pants and they're colored. And so I love them so much, I ordered another color.
There you go. That's what I do when I find something I like. I get it in every color.
Well, and they're right like, now they're like lightweight, but they're fall color. So here when it was 90 degrees, I could still wear them and not die.
So you can dress like it's fall without really dressing
fall
like it's fall.
Right.
There you go. That's Texas for you. Well, I'm looking at dresses because I have holiday parties coming up, and I went to, they actually have a whole section of just cocktail dresses, which is perfect. Mm-hmm. Went there, started shopping. They have my favorite thing, cute cocktail dresses with sleeves. Because I'm not comfortable wearing sleeveless things, mm-hmm. and they're not dowdy, they're not grandmotherly, they're cute modern dresses with sleeves. That is perfect for me. So I know where I'm getting mine. They also have something I'm not sure if I'm going to, I want to do it. It's their cocktail jumpsuits.
Oh, yeah.
I love the idea of it.
I love the idea and I love how they look on other people. I don't like going to the bathroom in them. But
that's true, super because
cute.
You have to go, you have to completely undress to go to the bathroom. Yes. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Maybe not to I'll unsell it, but that's just me.
They're so cute, though. They're probably worth it.
They're really cute.
Well, if anybody else wants to join us shopping at ModCloth for holiday stuff, you can get 15% off your purchase of $100 or more by going to modcloth.com and entering the code VERYPINK at checkout. This offer is valid for a limited time. 15% off a purchase of $100 or more. ModCloth.com, enter code VERYPINK, and we'll have a link to them and the coupon code in the show notes.
Hello, ladies. I love watching the YouTube channel and listening to the podcast every week. I'm a new knitter and I have learned so much from you. I was wondering which DPN Stacy uses in the videos. I would like to get a set. Thank you so much, Elizabeth from DeWitt, Michigan.
Hi, Elizabeth. Most of the time in the videos, I'm using Knitter's Pride bamboo needles and the for DPNs. Those are the DPNs that I use the most. And I use them because they the bamboo needles come in a larger gauge, and I'm usually knitting kind of bulky things so people can see what I'm doing. As far as smaller gauge, I don't use smaller gauge needles in videos very often, but I do like the Knitter's Pride Platina double-pointed needles. I like Chiaogu's double-pointed needles. I recently got a set of those. I really like them. But I think the ones that she's referring to are the Knitter's Pride double-pointed needles. I'll put a link mm-hmm. to them because that set is really nice. And they are the bamboo has a nice grip to it. So if you're knitting, let's say, the top of a hat in like worsted weight yarn or something, so you need to use a larger gauge, there's enough grip on those needles. The DPNs aren't going to slide out even though it's larger gauge and the needle is a little bit heavier than it would be, you know, in size zero or something. Anyway, I like those needles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like those too.
Oh, you have some?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
You gave me some. Okay. Hi there, Stacey and Casey. I'm knitting my first garment other than socks or beanies. I'm being very diligent about knitting gauge swatches. The pattern calls for 10 centimeters for 24 stitches, but my swatch is 11 centimeters, 24 stitches. How do I proceed? Thanks for all your help. Your videos are a constant help. I even sent links for your videos to my mom when she knitted her first pair of socks.
Oh.
Rika from, she wants me to say Melbourne, Australia.
Usually we get a different phonetic spelling of
Melbourne. I'd say Melbourne, but I'm American.
Usually they tell us Melbourne.
Melbourne.
No, it's not what they say. Oh, we're going to mispronounce things even if they spell it phonetically. Well, for Rica, we're going to go ahead and say Melbourne.
We got to put an R in everything because we're American.
We pronounce the R's, yes. Okay, she is saying that her swatch is ending up bigger than it needs to be. And I had to write myself a little note here when I was putting the questions together because I can think about this too hard and confuse myself, but her swatch is too big, so her stitches are too big, so she needs to use a smaller needle size to get gauge so that her garment fits properly.
Yep.
There. Don't make me talk anymore about this question or I'll confuse myself. Confused. Yeah.
Okay. Dear Stacey and Casey, I hope all is well down there in Texas. Thanks so much for your show. I listen every week. I'd consider myself an intermediate knitter. I can design and follow patterns, design simple things without a pattern, cable without a needle, that sort of thing. I've watched all your videos, which helped me get there. But I'd like to start deepening my understanding of knitting. I've read an article recently about the way that differently plied yarns interact with different sorts of patterns and found it fascinating. Can you suggest your favorite knitting books that are like that, not patterns, but about the technicalities and history and culture of knitting? I was hoping you'd written one, but didn't find any on Amazon. Amanda from Somerville.
Casey, you get more books than I do. Do you have anything to contribute?
I don't get deep into the design kind of stuff. The technicalities and history and culture. Didn't you have like the history? There's like...
I'm turning around because I don't buy a lot of knitting books, but the ones that I have are right behind me and I have a few here.
There's one like the history of hand knitting.
Mm-hmm. By Richard Rutt. And I keep turning my face away from the microphone. And The Knitter's Book of Yarn by Clara Parks. Mm-hmm. And The Complete Guide to Needlework, which is an old Reader's Digest book. And you gave me a book that I really like. Knitting, Fashion, Industry, Craft by Sandy Black.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a coffee table book. It is beautiful. Oh, and the Vogue Knitting, The Ultimate Guide.
Oh.
And then also, as far as Stictionaries go, I have the complete set of the Vogue Stictionary books, and I like those very much. Mm-hmm. But I don't buy pattern books. I'd rather buy patterns a la carte, you know, like from Ravelry. But the books that I just described are all not pattern books. They're kind of knitting reference books. And those mm-hmm. are I think that's what Amanda's asking for. Those are my favorites.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
I don't know where Somerville is. Do you know where Somerville is? That's where Amanda's from.
Massachusetts? There are probably lots of Somervilles in the U.S.
I know. Okay.
They're probably worldwide. She might be from Australia.
Yeah. From Melbourne. Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. Thank you for the wonderful job you're both doing with podcasts. I really enjoy listening and laughing each week. I look forward to it every week. My question is about this SSK stitch, slip, slip, knit. Some instructions say that when you do an SSK, you slip the first stitch as if to knit, slip the next stitch as if to knit, then purl, put those two stitches back on the left needle and knit those two stitches through the back loop. Then other instructions for SSK are slip the next stitch as if to knit, return that stitch back to the left needle and knit the next two stitches through the back loops. The second set of instructions only has one stitch twisted. That's hard to say. Have you ever read this before? Why are they different? Is there one way better than or more preferred than the other? Thanks, Faith, in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Faith. Yes, I have heard of these two different ways of working the SSK. SSK is a one-stitch left-leaning decrease. It's the mirror image to a knit two together. And a regular SSK is slip as if to knit, slip as if to knit, knit those two stitches together through the back loop. And then I think it's called a modified SSK is slip as if to knit, put that needle back, that stitch back on the left needle, and then knit those two stitches together through the back loop. So essentially, yeah, only the one first stitch is twisted. I recommend working them side by side and seeing which one you prefer. I use the regular SSK. And it could be that if I tested it out in every yarn, there's sometimes I would prefer the other way of working it, but I like the left lean on the regular SSK. I think it looks really good. I think it is the best mirror image to the knit two together, but there might be times, there might be yarns, there might be gauges where the other one is better. I can't imagine it. I mean, 'cause it's so hard to get a left lean in knitting. Yeah. And that's why the SSK is so much more complicated than the knit two together. You know, knit two together, when I'm teaching beginning knitters, they work knit two togethers accidentally all the time, right? they cast on X number of stitches and they have, you know, only 3/4 that number of stitches after a few rows because they keep accidentally working knit two togethers. No one in the history of time has ever accidentally worked an SSK while trying to knit across a row. It's a lot more complicated to get a left lean. And so I think twisting each of those stitches does give you a stronger left lean. But test them out. I recommend testing it out, taking a look for yourself and seeing which one you prefer because they are both completely effective as a one-stitch decrease. Which one do you use, Casey?
The first one, the regular.
The regular one, yeah.
The regular one.
Yeah. We're old-fashioned girls.
Yep.
Old-fashioned girls who want to wear jumpsuits to Christmas parties.
That's right. All right, another question?
Sure.
Hi, Stacey. I'm going to be starting on a garter stitch stole that is knit on the diagonal and grafted together in parts. It also has striped color changes, so I'm wondering if there is a way to have both sides look like the right side without the legs of the color change showing on the wrong side. Does this make sense? It would be great if it were reversible or not noticeably one way or the other. Thanks, Allison H.
Hi, Allison. I can answer this question really quickly. When you work stripes in garter stitch, the purl bumps show up in the wrong color on the wrong side of the work. You'll have a really clean look on one side where the stripes all look really good, but you'll have what I call muddy color change lines on the wrong side of the work. Just the nature of knitting, that's just the nature of garter stitch. But you can avoid this by knitting is she saying scarf or shawl here? Stole. Well, I can't help you much with a stole, but if you're working on a scarf, you know, just like a narrow rectangle, you can actually work it in the round so that the wrong side of the work is on the inside of the tube, and so the color changes won't show. Can't help you with a stole, though. That sounds like something that's probably maybe shaped. Mm-hmm. Are stoles big rectangles? Would you say it's a big rectangle or a big triangle?
I don't know. What is a stole?
What is a stole? We have no idea. I imagine it's something.
It makes me think of a cowl, but it's not, right?
No, because I'm thinking. I'm thinking fox stole.
It's like what the fox preacher wears.
Skin stole. So I know it's. No, what?
It's
I don't
like
even
a
know.
A long scarf that you can wear flat, like what you know when you go. The
is that called wears. A stole?
Yes, I just Googled it.
You just Googled it. Okay, so suddenly you're the expert on stoles. Okay.
It's a long scarf or shawl, especially a fur or similar material, worn loosely over the shoulders. Oh, it's like, yeah, like the fox stole.
That's what I'm picturing, like rich ladies in old movies would wear, you know, what appeared to be an entire fox body. It's so gross.
But it's just like a strip of fabric or a strip of fox.
Okay. It's not. A strip of fox. So,
which is what they wear in churches, too. Like, they just wear that long, straight piece of fabric.
I totally know what you're talking about. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like Allison could knit this stole in the round then and hide all of her garter stitch color changes.
Mm-hmm.
Could happen. She could do it. If our interpretation of what a stole is the same as Allison's, then she could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, that's all we have time for this week.
All right.
If people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
Very good. And if you want to find me online, there is the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel or verypink.com. And that is it. Until next week, stay warm, my friends.